situation is with Pacifica. As a listener, I'm just trying to understand in a nutshell what's going on.
And could you repeat that, Paul? It's hard to hear.
Basically, what the basic problem is with the, what would be done to solve this problem that you're having?
I think there's a battle over whether there's going to be a top-down, top-heavy network, or there's going to be a community-inspired series of stations that feed into a beautiful national sound, but that have terrific and important community control, so that the beautiful accents and the particular backgrounds of the people that are represented in the different communities really do feed into a national rainbow network that is not a repeat performance of other existing networks like National Public Radio.
And what is the listeners could what could the listeners do to?
I have an answer for that, if I may interject. This is Robert Knight. I'm here for another brief moment. I have morning duties to attend to shortly. But one thing I omitted and meant to say in the earlier programming is relevant to exactly what you're asking, what can listeners do. In the case of WBAI, where the leadership impulses that are being exhibited by the current executive director of Pacifica are not the philosophy or the behavior that this community exercises or supports. The most important thing listeners can do is, particularly during this financially difficult summer, give money so that we can sustain our operations, have the equipment we need to do things like this and other things. There are wars and deaths going on around the world. The listeners to this radio station are being appealed to. Most of us here work on constructing as well as deconstructing the things that we do. So do not take things that seem untoward as a reason to not support WBAI. That is, in fact, what gives us power to do the right thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And let me second that, caller, and second that, my brother.
That's me, over and out.
Yes, and I want to say that
okay.
We really feel very strongly that the now more than ever the listeners need to support and not give anybody an excuse to say, look, there's no money, we've got to fire them all quick. Now, you could have a debate on whether you should or you shouldn't, but I'm just seconding my brother there, Robert, that I feel that you shouldn't give any excuses. You need to stay and fight. And I want to say one other thing, this notion of the gag rule. I believe in a situation, I don't believe that the microphones are for one broadcaster to go after an enemy, his enemy that appears on the station 2 hours before or 2 hours after, or some enemy he has in, or she has in the community, and they're angry, and so they're going to use their microphones as a bully pulpit. And for 20 years, until the firing of Nicole Sawaya and the meltdown, and maybe I should have spoke up earlier, maybe I am a little bit too late, who knows, but I never, ever said a word about anything other than the suffering of the people in El Salvador, giving voice to the voiceless, giving platforms to people around the world who are oftentimes suffering based on U.S. Supported oppression. Never, ever have I done that. I raised millions of dollars, gave 20 years of my life, risked my life many times, and never said a word. But this isn't an internal battle. When I got AP and UPI and The Chronicle and every newspaper in the Bay Area and CBS and ABC and NBC and all of them calling me, this isn't an internal struggle anymore.
Okay, thank you very much, caller. We
thank
have a
you.
Lot of calls.
Thank you.
And you're on the radio with Dennis Bernstein.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Dennis is here with us. Do you have a question for him?
I guess not. I'm going to move on. And you're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Listen, I was wondering, what's going to prevent this woman, who is executive director, from doing this same thing to other stations?
Well, boy, that's a good question.
Excellent question.
That's a good question. I think there's a... It's three... It's, what is it? Four words? Power to the people? The people united? Organize? Talk to each other? Meet each other? Organize? As I always say, when I ask people to send in their hard-earned money, I tell them to put their money where their beliefs are. I say also, keep an eye on us. Watch what's going on. Stay tuned in. Check it out on the net. Pay attention. Hold us accountable. It's up to all of us. This is a struggle to keep Free Speech Radio free and in the hands of the people.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
What? How about if you give, if not now, at some time in the future, a discussion as to the legal structure of Pacifica? And, you know, and kind of give some, expose to the public how this came about, that this, you know, this could even, why isn't it a cooperative instead of a corporation?
Well, I want to suggest to the hosts here that they get on one of the attorneys who has just, is planning to file suit against Pacifica based on the, what they are alleging are, and this is reported again, all that I'm telling you is reported in the mainstream, that the hosts get on the attorneys, and I have to be honest with you, this is not, I spend my life trying to save people's lives with the microphone. This is not my expertise, those details. Right. But there are people out there who can tell you.
And there's also Save Pacifica, the website, freepacifica.org, I think it's called. Do you know the address offhand, Robert? I mean,
I don't have the addresses, and it's funny you say Robert.
Dennis.
I spent so much time on the air with Robert. People might remember that we did a morning show called Contragate that turned into Undercurrents.
Somehow, it was there every morning at 8 o'clock. I remember you guys.
And it got to the point where people couldn't even tell us apart in public. And
it's Robert Bernstein. Okay, we're going to move on. Thank you. And you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I remember a case like this about 20 years ago. A kid got up on and he said, you deal with the yarmulke, I wish you were dead. And there's a certain limit to the late freedom of speech. And I still don't understand what the whole problem here is. They're all talking everything. It's the freedom of speech. What's the crux of the problem?
The crux of the problem.
I don't understand the whole problem going on there. The freedom of speech?
Okay, well, it's about making sure that the control of the airways stays in the hands of the people who funded it and shed blood and gave great chunks of their life to make sure that it is a free speech, non-corporate, unfettered radio station and network. As I say, KPFA was founded 50 years ago by Lou Hill, a merry band of war resistors who went to jail, who went to work camps, who refused to go to war, to
fight
resist
against
war.
The Nazis, they went to work camps. Sorry, Gavout. 50 million people were killed. 10 million.
Well,
killed.
Yeah,
I go to work.
Sorry, but we can't. Oh, we want to go too off key here. And you're on the radio with Dennis Bernstein on Let Him Talk.
All praises due to Allah.
All right, Monty.
Monty.
First of all, let me say, the peace officer that was out there, I hope that the police in New York was listening to how he was trying to resolve the situation. That's what peace officers is all about, keeping the peace. He was on the money. And I say, my brother, if you're listening, may God protect you and bless you. And to Janet Reno, girl, you better step up. You better hope for more peace officers like him. And now, moving on.
And my brother, by the way, was a captain, and he was a beautiful man.
He was one of God's children. You understand? And I don't know if he was European or African, but I said, Monty, that's one of God's children. You understand? Because he was doing the right thing. You understand? But now let me move on. Take this, y'all. I want you to pick up on what I'm about to say, because I'm about to drop a lug on you. The powers to be do not want WBAI to exist. So what do? They put people in the power of position to undermine WBAI. This way, the listeners will be turned off to WBAI. If I'm sending my dollar bills in, and Monty has on numerous occasions, because I get the letters constantly, and Monty has She Who Must Be Obeyed write the checks out. If I'm sending my dollar bills in, I want the people to be in charge. How do they hire or put people in charge of WBAI that do not know anything? And I'll put parentheses around this. Anything about running a radio station, and then have the audacity to say you ain't gonna be on the air, and you ain't gonna be on the air, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, when Monty is sending his dollar bills in to keep them in the position that they are in, because I didn't hire them. Why aren't they having Monty come and say, Monty, do you want this person or this person?
It's a good question. Why aren't they, Dennis?
I think the question answers itself.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks a lot, Monty.
It's a beautiful.
Keep on keeping on,
right,
and walk on the right side of the street.
All
we'll
right.
do our best. Peace.
Take care, Monty.
Peace.
Good night, Monty.
Yeah. And you're on the radio. Oh, you're not. Wait a second. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to continue, if I may. Listen, no,
you know what? I'm really interested. Let me interrupt here.
Sure.
I'm really interested in knowing if there are any women out in your audience who are following this debut.
Mm-hmm.
Because so far I've heard all male voices, and I'm quite interested.
And we have numerous
Yeah, we have
women.
Some very interesting
women
ladies that
call in
every
yeah.
week. So maybe we have a lot of calls, and we don't really have a screening process, but we could keep trying and see if any...
Yeah,
I'd appreciate, and particularly if it's the second time or the third time, you know.
We'll just keep going, yeah. Just keep it to one at a time. Yeah, you're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm a guy, but it's the first time you called.
But at least you haven't called five times already.
Okay. Well, I have a question, but first I'd like to make a quick point to the effect that I was kind of upset when you cut that guy off earlier. I guess the first
Could
caller
you please
who called
speak
in. The first caller who called in, I was kind of upset when you cut him off, because I see that happen a lot.
Okay, was that Monroe?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I used to work at KPFA for 5 years, and
yeah.
I'm sorry, but for somebody to call 2, 3, 4 times a call-in doesn't make room for other people to get on. And I think the airwaves are valuable, and everybody needs to get a shot.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. But I see that happen a lot. There's kind of a lack of patience with the... The ideas
okay,
and
well,
the
I would let
oh, no,
have
this
a question.
Is let him talk. But ask Dennis a question. We have him on long distance.
Okay, well, I heard something earlier that I'd like for you guys to elaborate a little more on, where you were talking about in some situations the listener support is being treated as suspects.
Yeah, their letters and emails are being given over to FBI.
No, not FBI.
Police?
Okay, the apparently, according to the San Francisco Examiner, I didn't get any callbacks myself, but according to the San Francisco Examiner, Pacifica National, and this was, I guess, the story was informed by Alain Fabre. Mm-hmm. She is the new Pacifica National spokesperson. You might want to follow up. Her number is 510-848-6767, extension 461. According to Alain Fabre in the San Francisco Examiner, about 2,000 emails emails that were sent in by supporters who were frustrated, the supporters of the staff, and wanting more information and were angry with the firings, are being turned over to the police for possible evaluation by a police psychologist to see if the emails and I believe some voicemails reflect a danger. And as I said earlier, one of the people who I spoke with in front of the station on Sunday, who called several times, was a child psychologist. So I'm wondering if that child psychologist could potentially go from listener supporter to suspect.
Is this an attempt to intimidate people from calling? Maybe they're tired and sick and tired of all this calling, and they just want to stop it by intimidating people? Like if you're risking getting a file made on you if you call and complain and bother us?
Everybody needs to draw their own conclusions. I want to stay with what the information is that's in the public record.
Okay. All right. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to move on to you. You're on the air. Welcome to Let Him Talk.
Hey, how you doing? Give me a couple of seconds. I'm a little nervous here. But the bottom line is stations like KPFA out in Berkeley and WBAI in New York, they treat us people like we're crazy. You know, we're liberal or we may be conservative, but we speak our mind no matter what party line we toe. And I believe, you know, I've been around, I'm 35 years old, so I've been hearing people saying, this is the 60s, it's a change, this is the 70s, it's a change, this is the 80s, it's a change, this is the 90s, it's a change. We're going into the year 2000. You know, unfortunately, what I'm going to say is revolutionary, but the bottom line is, the only thing that's going to change this country, we need another kind of revolution or a civil war. Because the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Look at they just announced yesterday that they're closing schools in New York City, which is crazy. You know, there's money for the rich people. There's money. Look at Giuliani. He just the Brooklyn Navy Yard. He just reneged on this party that's supposed to happen out there because he thought it would involve Hillary Clinton.
Well, let me ask you, caller, and just keep it brief. You have so many calls, but let me ask you. What can we do? What should we do?
You know, I honestly, I've been trying to think about what we can do positively to change the situation. Unfortunately, the only thing I can think of that changes the situation is some kind of revolution. The people have to come up, and to get change, it has to be drastic.
So we got to get the asses of the masses in the street.
Exactly. People are too content these days. People, look what happened in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you had the father working, providing for the whole family. When you look at the problems of the United States today, I believe that you need two people, both parents, working just to get by. You know, before it was the father's income.
I got it. We don't got to move on. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right.
Bye. And you're on the radio.
Hey there.
Question or comment?
Hi. Oh, lady.
Okay. Yeah, the lady.
Right on.
Thank you. Anyway, good morning, everybody. I just had a few points to make.
Please speak up. It's really hard for me to hear. I'm sorry.
Okay. Is this any better?
It's a little better, yes.
Okay, anyway, the one thing I wanted to ask was, you know, this is not just Lynn Chadwick, although, you know, her conduct is certainly reprehensible. What I'd like to know also is, where is Mary Frances Berry in all this? You know, I mean, she's an important person. She's on the President's Civil Rights Commission and so on and so on. In fact, when she was here in New York City with the hearings on police brutality, I was listening to how she was acting on the news reports, and she really wasn't much better because she was trying to hush the voices of people who were doing nothing more than supporting the people who were testifying, threatening to clear the room and asking them to leave the room. And, I mean, you know, what's that about? I mean, that wasn't, you know, loud conduct or anything, really, not according to what I heard in the report on the news, on the audio tape. And, somehow it's up to the people who are concerned enough to really try and put this thing together, and I really admire the example of what people are doing in San Francisco because you're showing us in New York a few things. You know, it's like New York is being completely cowed at the moment, it seems, you know, what with all these strong-arm tactics from all around. So your comments, please, about where this is going.
Well, you raise a couple of very interesting points there, caller. First of all, one of the things that we had been trying to do, what I know as a journalist is, if you're not there, you don't know. You got to be there on the spot. You got to see. You got to feel. You got to smell. You got to experience the moment. We have been pleading and hoping that Mary Frances Berry would come out and meet with us. We've asked many times. And we're hoping maybe she'll do that tomorrow, next week. Maybe she'll hear what goes on at the board and she'll say, I better go out there and talk to those people, those respected members of the KPFA community, and let's get some mediation and let's get some things back on track. We've been anxious to do that. I want to say that I am very much a pacifist. I am a peace-loving man. I admit that I'm not as courageous as I should be, and I understand how frightening it is to risk speaking out and losing your access to the airwaves, and I have been very, very cautious about how I go about this. But there does come a time, as I said earlier, that, you know, this limitation of you can't shout, you know, fire in a crowded theater, but if there is a fire and you're silent, then you have to accept the responsibility of your silence. So I say now to my brothers and sisters in New York that we need to learn what's going on. I urge Mary Frances Berry to come out and meet with us and understand the underlying. Take our demand seriously about independent mediation look into the kinds of things that led up to the firing of a manager. Let me say, Nicole Sawaya was a Lebanese-American woman, single-parent mom, who came into a very difficult station at KPFA that had been turned around by former managers who were very disrespectful. She united the staff. She put us together. She put the communities back into the radio station. She started doing her regular report to the listener. It was a beautiful show. When one of our broadcasters was refused entrance by Chevron to a press conference, Nicole had him, Wendell, on the air to talk about the dangers of Dianne Feinstein, a senator, having a press conference at Chevron to talk about the not using MTBE and refusing entrance to a reporter from Pacifica. And she stood with Wendell. She's a magnificent human being who was doing all kinds of things to bring in new kinds of voices and the community. And she was fired. And we want to know why. It wasn't good enough to say, as we went over after a firing and were spoken to through the crack in a door by Lynn Chadwick, who said the problem was she wasn't a good fit. And that's all we've heard. So we invite mediation, communication, peaceful resolution. We live for that. As I said, our network, KPFA, the flagship founding station, was put together by people who gave up their freedom, they didn't give up their freedom, but they went to jail to protest war. They created this network as a nonprofit, ultimately as a nonprofit, non-commercial radio station, because they saw the dangers of having a General Electric, an NBC, with connections to the war machine, controlling the flow of information. So we're here speaking out to protect that, and we want to encourage our brothers and sisters who have been afraid, to step up now. You know, the ideal is not to not be afraid. The idea is you're afraid, and you act, then you act in the face of your fear. And I think people might agree that, really, if you really want to find out who you are, see what happens when you challenge. See what happens. Can you act? Can you stand up? Can you make your fear work for you? We urge people to stand up inside and outside. And this isn't just this isn't about a union battle with management. This is a battle by people who love free speech to make sure that this network remains free. How's that for a speech?
I like that.
Sounds
good. I really
do.
But one other thing, though, one other question I wanted to ask before I go, which is that does the Pacifica Foundation have a governing body of bylaws? I mean, obviously there are violations occurring here if there is such a body, you know.
Check out Matthew Lazar's book about Pacifica, which you can get through Amazon.com, Lasar, Matthew Lazar. And what he said, just to keep briefly touch on this, is that Pacifica, unfortunately, when it was set up, was never really had a clear structure. And that's we're paying the price for it.
Let me sort of just...
Bit, right? Yeah. All right, anyway, thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you very much for that call. Let me say this, just about a recent experience I had.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just back. I've written this book, Henry Hyde's Moral Universe, Where More Than Time and Space Are Warped, about the extreme right policies that have been created by Henry Hyde, the current judiciary chairman, that have caused untold suffering with the Hyde Amendment, with his support of Oliver North, with his undermining of the SNL industry, his participation in the deregulation of the SNLs. We were in his hometown on Saturday night, me and Leslie Kane, the co-author of the book, and we were there at the Citizens Advocacy Center the night before, we understand, the phone lines were cut. After our initial speech, we found ourselves face-to-face with people such as Joe Scheidler, who was found liable for over 121 acts of violence at pro-choice clinics, somebody who considers a pro-choice clinic the equivalent of a Nazi concentration camp. And they don't like when you disagree. When you disagree, you end up like I am now on their hotline. You end up being threatened. They try and shut you down. They do not want to hear alternatives to their own thinking. That's contrary to what we believe at Pacifica. And I was extremely troubled to feel that there was some close relationship to what happened there when we felt very threatened in that situation, and coming back to KPFA and feeling some of the same kinds of threats.
Uh-huh, very interesting. And you're on WBAI in New York with Dennis Bernstein, Paul DiRienzo, and Miss Jo Marie Moussi, who's also, as Nicole Sawaya, of Lebanese descent. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Paul, and I'd like to thank Robert for doing these programs, because I realize how much you're putting on the line to do this. And
well, I hope I have a job tomorrow.
Yes, right.
I have a show next week.
What I want to say, someone asked, what's the crux of the problem with Pacifica? And I think there's two foci, and one of them is, of course, the free speech issue. And the other one, though, is the labor issue. And I don't think, Dennis, that you should have said it's not just a labor issue, like that wasn't very important, because to me, the labor aspects of what's going on at WBAI are very essential, because for a union of paid and unpaid staff to be formed, and this is a very important concept for to win with the NLRB, and then to have our money as listeners to be spent on union busting is horrible, and that is the reason why I have not subscribed to the station for over a year.
But you're listening.
Yes.
Well, now, let me say, first of all, let me be very clear, because I agree with you that the union struggle and the struggle, the courageous actions taken by the WBAI staff to fight to keep the unpaid staff in the union and represented was crucial. I have to be honest with you. The staff at KPFA, I believe, fell short there and weren't militant. Some of us felt differently than others of us. However, I say again, this is, let me say it to you a different way then. This is more than a union struggle. This is much more than a union management battle, because there are many stakeholders that go, our bosses are the listener supporters, and they have a stake in what goes on. The activist groups, the community groups that we relate to, that we communicate to, that we have this synergistic, beautiful synergistic relationship, have a stake in this community. And I think that we at KPFA have been an extraordinary battle to expand the participation, so that we now have just come to create a coordinating committee that, you know, in terms of fighting this battle, that includes members of the union. It includes members of the unpaid staff, of the management, of the listeners, of various aspects of the listeners. That's extremely important that we have a very wide tent that we all stand under. And I hope that person... Are you still there, Cora?
Yes, I am.
I really hope that you will subscribe. Not subscribe and walk away, but give your money and stand with us. Become an active free speech player. Not a passive listener, but somebody who takes actions. But I think, you know, it is my opinion that it's important to support the station. I'm curious, how often do you listen a week?
Oh, a lot.
You listen
every morning.
And how do you expect those union people that you support, the ones who are paid, to get paid? Who's going to pay them?
If I had a way to give my money to WBAI, I would do it in a minute. But I don't like the idea of giving my money to Pacifica, and it takes a cut, whether I like it or not, and then it decides what it's going to do with a portion of my money, and considering what it's doing with it.
What do you listen to on the radio? What do you really like?
I listen to the news. I listen to Democracy Now. I listen to Wake Up Call and Hour of the Wolf and many other...
And do you think all those people earn the money that they're getting, those who get paid?
Certainly.
Okay, and how would we... And what about the transmitter? What about paying for that? I mean, the Pacifica... This is not an attempt as a put-down. This is a dialogue that has been ongoing. And I have to be honest with you, caller, that I was won over from your side because I was one of those who really wasn't crazy.